I have a fancy for holistic therapies, but I decided to study further Gestalt psychotherapy because I find it so intriguing. Some people may think that spirituality does not belong to psychotherapy, that therapists only deal with the emotional, behavioral, and social and cognitive aspects of life. While this may be true for some therapists, it certainly is not true for me. For me, spirituality emerges as a strong recurring figure in every field in my life, and it actually fosters my personal growth. As I read, understood, and gave meaning to the different Gestalt concepts, I could perceive the spiritual ground to which these concepts were connected. However, although several therapists know and value the spiritual dimension of life, some will wait for it to emerge from the client and may not initiate the discussions themselves, leaving some clients and leaving the impression that it is not part of the process. By the same token, some clients will not bring it up unless the therapist does, thus leaving the impression that it is not part of their lives. Yet other therapists will not deal with it at all, or will deal with it only insofar as it relates to the client's overall psychological and social functioning. What often prevents people from initiating discussion of their spirituality is that it can only be so difficult to talk about. Words can seem inadequate or not quite right. Yet words are usually the primary vehicle one has to communicate his internal world to another person, unless one is an artist. When words do not serve to communicate or bring the individual closer to others, one is inclined to keep that part to himself, private and unshared. Nevertheless, spirituality is a valid dimension that needs to be considered by therapists, since it may be intricately connected to clients' issues and the reason they come to therapy after all. For all the above reasons, I decided to write this paper highlighting the spiritual dimension of Gestalt therapy. And for practical reasons, I shall refer to the therapist in the female gender and the client in the male gender, unless attending to specific examples, which I will give as I go along. So let me highlight some historical background between spirituality and psychotherapy. One only needs to go back to Freud to see how this attitude of separateness and disconnection has been perpetuated. He characterized religion as an illusion and connected it with pathology, such as obsessive-compulsive behavior. This attitude fostered the view that spirituality was irrelevant at best and indicative of pathological thinking at worst, encouraging many therapists to avoid the topic altogether. Psychotherapy and spirituality have been kept distinct from each other for several reasons. One important reason being that the spiritual dimension was thought to lie outside of the realms of science. Furthermore, practitioners did not want to impose their views on their clients. And for these and other reasons, there has been a splitting and the repression of the spiritual. This has brought on a number of consequences, amongst which little attention has been paid to the underlying experience that people undergo under extreme physical and psychological suffering, and the emergence of an existential emptiness that is a consequence of the spiritual isolation and disconnection. Consequently, any discussion of religious experiences was often viewed as regressive and dysfunctional. Such a conflict needs urgent addressing, since there is a growing sense of isolation and alienation present in the patient population, which the mental health community cannot ignore. Clients are not only coming to therapy with confusion about their own individual mortality and morality, but are seeking to compensate for the lack of reliable and humane guideposts that are available in society as a whole. In such an atmosphere, therapists are looked at for support as clients struggle for a loss of meaning and a sense of emptiness. There have been attempts by noted therapists such as Jung to integrate these two aspects of spirituality and psychotherapy. In recent years, several therapists are considering the healing opportunities available when incorporating a more holistic view of mind, body, and spirit. Even the American Psychiatric Association has begun to consider the role of religion and spirituality in psychiatry. For example, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-4, includes a category, religious and spiritual problems, which while it focuses on problems, separates spiritual issues from psychological problems for the first time. Such a move signals a shift in thinking away from separation towards integration of spirituality and modern therapeutic contexts. Therefore, the challenge is for therapists to establish a system that can integrate spirituality into the therapy, that since the therapist's attitudes and beliefs, experience and religion and view of the world accompany the therapeutic session. It is not easy to define spirituality, as we have heard. I am, however, attempting to describe the concept in context. Spirituality comes from the Latin word spiritus, meaning breath of life. It is a way of being and experiencing what comes through awareness and of a transcendent dimension, and is characterized by certain identifiable values in regard to self, others, nature, life, and whatever one considers to be the ultimate. Sometimes it means unlearning what one has been taught and listening, which may lead to a new awakening. I am now going to speak about the spiritual ground of Gestalt therapy, and I am going to explain the significance of a number of different concepts or themes which make up the spiritual ground. These include feet therapy, awareness, dialogue, peak experiences, the I Tao, and the fertile void. I want to emphasize that even though I am going to divide this section into different parts, I am not implying that these concepts are separate. They are like faces of the same diamond. Each and every one describes one aspect of the same complex, the spiritual ground of Gestalt therapy. All simultaneously make up this field and are interdependent on one another. Before the scientific era began, field therapy and field theory was the dominant epistemology of the time. This was a time when human beings felt interdependent and interconnected to each other and with nature. Field theory is at the basis of Gestalt therapy. Pearls and colleagues actually calls this the original, undistorted, natural approach to life. Pearls was the founder of Gestalt therapy. In this way, field theory is a very strong foundation in the spiritual ground of Gestalt therapy through its principles of interconnectedness and holism. The principle of organization states that everything is part of a field and everything is interdependent and connected to everything else. And the principle of relevance consists in the idea that everything that exists or happens has meaning within a larger field, and nothing is irrelevant or random. Both principles point to a transcendent larger reality. The importance that is given to awareness of this larger field or to this larger transcendent relayed reality is what makes this therapy a transpersonal one, that is, one that lies beyond the person. In Gestalt therapy, it is through the gaining of awareness of the larger field or the structure of the whole that the individual can gain insight and free himself from its shaping or conditioning so that he can act freely, choicefully, and creatively within it. So I think I need to pause for a while now, and I want to invite you to be with me for a while and experience this sense of awareness in the here and now. And I invite you to close your eyes, ground yourselves, both feet touching the ground, and become aware of your own breathing. And capture whatever else is happening in this field. stop any internal dialogue that may be going on. And just be in touch with the present moment. Now slowly open your eyes. And maybe we can share whatever we experienced in this short slot during the discussion. Awareness is the path towards transcendence in Gestalt therapy because it leads one to enter and experience the fertile void. When one becomes aware and is in full contact with himself and the larger field, one becomes free of conditioning from the field and stands at a point in space and time where, according to Wolfward, all exists in a ceaseless motion of formless form. In this fertile void, which is full of uncertainty, one can empty all grounds, experience a larger field, and in so doing, forging a new and deep connection with the universe, the ground of all being. Okay, it is known and acknowledged that there are four forms actually of awareness, which Gestalt psychotherapy incorporates, and these are the somatic awareness, cognitive, emotional, and the moment-to-moment awareness, known as mindfulness, which we have been referring to throughout these days. Now, acceptance of the void is another concept I want to draw attention on. And this acceptance renders Gestalt therapy an even richer ground to the transpersonal and spiritual. Gestalt therapy accepts that everything exists in a void, a space of nothingness. This space is a center of possibility, possibly of turmoil and confusion, in which all exists in a ceaseless motion of formless form. This void is the ground of everything. Everything emerges and is created from this void, and everything fades away and dissolves within it. It is the largest ground where everything is not yet, and everything still has to become. And this can only be experienced in the now, in the present moment. Peirce gave so much importance to this void that he decided and described the successful therapeutic process as one leading from the sterile void to the fertile void. He saw the process of therapy as consisting in the sequence of nothingness towards psychological explosion. And I'm drawing onto an example here. A client comes for a session feeling very stuck, and the therapist sits down with him in his stuckness. And through the therapist's presence and awareness, doing nothing but just being present and alert to what is, both experience fully this void and all its creative possibilities. In the formless void of this fertile void, past habits loosen and new possibilities arise. I actually was walking with one person who is a member of this community here, and yesterday, whilst walking during the historical walk, she started talking without having planned it, and she really talked. And this morning she found me and she said, "Te, I really talked yesterday, and you know what happened? And so many issues were brought into consciousness, into awareness." And she was relating this to me this morning without even knowing. So we just let it happen. So the dialogical approach is often the basis of relationship in therapy. Several Gestalt theorists describe this approach as a transformative process by which the therapist and the client co-explore what is. The co-exploring role of the therapist honors both the separate and the connected aspects of the relationship, while facilitating a spiritual experience in therapy. Nevertheless, it is Freire's concept of participatory knowing that illustrates best how the dialogical approach cultivates spirituality. In his definition, participatory knowing refers to the multidimensional access to reality that includes not only intellectual knowing of the mind, but also the emotional and the empathic knowing of the heart, the sensual and somatic knowing of the body, the visionary and intuitive knowing of the soul, as well as any other way of knowing available to human beings. The task for the therapist is to be open to the spiritual realm of the Tao. In Gestalt, the relationship is seen as being curative if it is dialogical. In this way, the client needs to experience a dialogical relationship with his therapist in order to be healed, and the relationship with the therapist is meant to help the client to re-establish this dialogical contact with the world. Actually, before I move on, I want to draw on a particular encounter I recently had with one of my clients. I used the mirror technique, I call it, to help bring focus to her in her relationship. Actually, this client came in the room. She was feeling lost. She had her hand like this. I was looking at her, and after a while, she did this. And I said, "Why are you not looking at me? Why are you looking away from me?" And she said, "I feel so ashamed. I feel embarrassed. I feel annoyed." And I said, "Be in touch with your embarrassment." And I said, she said, "I cannot take it anymore. I feel so embarrassed." And she stopped for a while. And I think she was then remembering in times where she was embarrassed in her life. And she said, "You know, I feel I am not worthy to live." So this is the what was causing her the embarrassment. Okay, and she was like non-verbalizing it. In this example, actually, the client became aware of, and she expressed her experience at the point of failing the task. Okay, what do we mean by contact? Often, people who are depressed are told to cheer up, and when they actually need to have good contact with the sadness first, before they can cheer up. And what matters is not if one feels good or bad, but that one accepts what is, in this case, the sadness. Let go from it. And only then one can open the way for creative adjustment. Change is spontaneous if there is contact of this particular nature. It would be hard to get ready to focus on the next emerging need if the previous one is not completed. Actually, here Maslow's hierarchy of need comes to mind. The lower level needs need to be met first for the higher level needs to be met. Even where full experience of the full contact is not possible, fully experiencing this reality and the letting go is also a spiritual act of faith. While I was preparing, this example came to mind. Mary does her best to make full contact with a colleague she is having problems with. She does her best to trust this process and fully let go when she is speaking to this colleague. She looks for all the support within herself and around her, but she still does not manage. Whatever both of them do, they become defensive towards each other and prevent full contact. It becomes an act of faith when Mary fully experiences this impossibility of such contact and decides to let go and embrace the what is. And this suits the words derived from the Catholic language, accepting God's will or trusting in God. Even though this causes us sometimes to rebel and even try harder, when we realize it is beyond our power to change such situations, we resign and embrace the mysterious order of things, trusting it is for the best. Gestalt therapy cultivates and also mirrors spirituality by involving peak experiences. These are called spiritual, transpersonal, or mystical experiences. These experiences typically expand one's sense of identity or create a sense of identity that includes the person and yet is beyond the individual or personal. Such experiences are often difficult to put to words. Nevertheless, they may reflect realization, becoming, and uniting with someone or something beyond ourselves, depending on the individual's personal orientation or tradition. There are usually joyous and exciting moments, often inspired by intense feelings of love, exposure to great music or art, or the overwhelming of beauty and nature around. I personally experience such inspiring occurrences every time I witness sunset or sunrise. They always give me a sense of awe. Now, I shall attempt to integrate all the points I have discussed to explain in a more comprehensive way the spiritual ground. Before the therapist intervenes, she needs to become aware of herself and the environmental field, which is the client. In this awareness, the therapist surrenders all control, embraces what is in herself and the environment. This helps the client to become also aware of himself. The therapist's acceptance of what is helps the client also to become aware and embrace the what is in himself and in his environment. At this point, in the now, in the stillness of acceptance of what is, therapist and client come in touch with the void, the source of all possibilities and creativity that connects everything to everything else. Through this experience of such void, healing happens and new creative solutions and adaptations emerge. The center within the therapist now allows him and her to participate in this spiritual therapeutic process, which is truly a spiritual center. This is a center of awareness and of being. Naranjo actually calls it the neutral point or the zero point. The development of the skill to stay in the spiritual center is truly fundamental for effective gestalt to happen. And according to Naranjo himself, it becomes a refuge to the therapist in the midst of intense participation, not only a source of strength, but an ultimate self-support. In this presentation, I attempted to explore how the spiritual and transcendental makes up this ground of Gestalt therapy. The spiritual is so intricately linked to Gestalt theory that a therapist might still be doing this work without even being aware of it. I even venture to say that the deeper the awareness of the therapist of the spiritual work she is doing, the more deep, effective, and creative will the process be. And she will then create this creative environment and the freedom for the person to grow. Okay. So I stop here.